Today's reading is Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20, and it's on page 1027 of the Church Bibles. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus coming to this world. Thank you for your salvation through Jesus Christ. Today we are going to listen to the story of Jesus coming to this world to understand the meaning of real Christmas, true meaning of Christmas. Please open our hearts to listen to your word clearly through Holy Spirit. Be with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever experienced humiliation or deep embarrassment at the hands of someone else? How did it make you feel? It's never a pleasant experience, because all of us, without exception, long to be respected, to be recognized, to be treated with dignity. And if someone who ought to be honored, someone of great worth or status, is subjected to humiliation, the pain is even sharper. Not only for them, but even for those who witness it, it is deeply disturbing. Last week, through Zechariah's glorious song, we heard of a coming king, the one who would shine light on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, the one who would bring salvation and peace. But according to Luke's account, the actual path by which the Lord entered the world was not a path of glory and honor, but a path marked by humiliation and shame. For Israel, a census was not a neutral administrative matter. They believed that counting the people belonged to God alone, the Lord of all the earth. In fact, when King David once ordered a census, God's judgment fell upon the nation in the Old Testament. Now imagine this, being forced to register your name and your family, not by God's command, but by the decree of a human king, and not even a Jewish king, but a pagan emperor. Imagine having no right to refuse. For Israel, this was a moment of deep, deep humiliation. And then consider this question: what about the true king of the world? The one who alone has the right to number the nations, the one to whom every life belongs, he treated as just another entry on a list, just another number in a census by belonging a family of the oppressed. Isn't that shocking? And it doesn't end there. Because of this census, the King of Heaven could not be born in a palace or even in a place fit for human birth. After a long and exhausting journey in his mother's womb, he was born in a foreign town, in a place meant for animals, dirty, isolated, and utterly unsuitable for a newborn child. No matter how poor a person may be, no one expects to be born in a manger. And who were the first to welcome this Savior of the world, this Lord of all? They were shepherds. In first century Jewish society, these were men so lowly and distrusted that they were not even considered reliable witnesses in a court of law. They belonged to one of the most despised and marginalized groups of their time. The king of the universe is born, and not in a palace with the king's nobles and crowd cheering his arrival. No, he is welcomed in a quiet field outside Bethlehem by a handful of these rough, overlooked shepherds. Why does Luke record this disturbing, almost embarrassing detail so carefully? Why did the Savior of the world have to come this way? John's Gospel puts it plainly. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It's because the creation rejected its creator. The world decided to be its own king, to go its own way. As a result, the relationship between creator and creature was shattered, and humanity became blinded to the one who made them. So Jesus himself said, "Jesus, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." His coming was an act of divine judgment, not with the fire and sword, but by exposing the truth. The arrival of Jesus reveals with stunning clarity how deeply we have rebelled, how we crowned ourselves king of our own lives, insisting, "This is my life. No one tells me what to do. I am right. I am justified." Friends, isn't there a little Caesar in each of us? Don't we all want to be the ruler of our own story? I am in charge. I decide what's good. I don't need anyone interfering. This is my life. I am the king of the world. In my life. With such proud hearts, Christmas becomes invisible to us. Unless we humble ourselves, unless we are willing to face our weakness, our sin, our brokenness, true Christmas will remain hidden from us. So look now, deep inside. Go to that hidden place no one else can reach. That place of your deepest shame, your unspoken despair, your silent struggles. The part of you that feels most broken and hopeless. Look there, not as someone who is still trying to be king, but as a sinner who desperately needs the true king, true salvation for us. For this is precisely why Jesus Christ came as the Savior of the world. In verses 10 to 12, the angel declares, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in a swaddling clothes and lie in a manger.'" The sign of salvation, the good news that brings the greatest joy to all people, was this: a baby lying in a manger. The one who holds all authority in heaven, the Son of a Most High God, why did he choose the lowest place? Why the feeding trough? Why the place lower than human dignity? Because there is no place too low for him to reach. No sin too great, no person too far gone, no corner of the human heart so dark and broken that he will not come there. He comes to the very lowest, to the outcast, to the failures, to the ones everyone else has written off, and says, "I will save you. I will lift you up. I will make you mine." That's why this Savior's coming is truly good news of great, most great joy for everyone, for all people. The news of a Savior is great joy for all, because no one is excluded. No one is too lonely. Though the world did not recognize him, though only a few despised the shepherds welcomed him, heaven could not remain silent because of that. A multitude of the heavenly host with the angel burst forth in praise. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Dear friends, the Lord has come. Where? Right into the lowest place in your life. The place of weakness, failure, despair. The place you think no one can face. Jesus came to there. He came there to forgive you, to save you, to give you the right to become a child of God. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. This grace is for everyone, for you. So stop trying to be your own Lord. Surrender the throne of your life, the sin, the brokenness, the hopelessness you cannot fix, and give it to the true King. Repent and receive Him as your Lord. And may you all experience the true joy of Christmas, the true joy of Christmas this year. Merry Christmas to you all. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, your love for us through Jesus Christ. Jesus came down to this lowest place. We see this humility, this humiliation of the God's Son, God the Son. Father, you became nothing for us to be saved from our sin, our struggles, our despair, our death. Father, thank you for this grace. Thank you for this wonderful love for us. We want to respond to you with the great joy, great happiness, great life-giving service for you. Bless our lives. Continue to bless us to know this love and grace. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.